Good morning.
Good morning.
I was going to say Merry Christmas, but the choir was back here telling me Happy New Year, so I didn't know what to say. So I just went with good morning. Merry Christmas works. Mary says Merry Christmas still works, as it should. It is a great day to be in God's house this morning. If I could draw your attention to the pew pads, which are located at the end of your pew, we invite members and guests alike to take that out, jot down your information. We would love to get a record of your attendance today. And just to say thank you for worshiping with us. The poinsettias, many of people have been asking about when can you take home your poinsettia? They're behind me on the tree, so good luck. I'm just kidding. Following the service, there will be people around taking them off the poinsettia tree. And so if you put a poinsettia in the church this year for Christmas, you will be able to take that home today. Also, a couple announcements here. We did collect $17,720 for our Lottie Moon Christmas offerings, so we surpassed our goal, which is great. Also, there's several other announcements listed in the bulletin. They're not many, just because it's about to be the new year, and it's always a slow time in the life of our church. But there is something on there tonight, 5 o'clock, the Unwanted Christmas Gift Exchange. If you got a Christmas gift that you just really don't want, I have the perfect situation for you. Bring it to church tonight. We're going to go eat supper at 5 o'clock. We're going to come back, and we're going to have a gift exchange following somewhere about 7 o'clock. We're going to go to Mi Pueblo Mexican restaurant down the road. Be here at 5. When we get back, we'll gather probably in the garden lobby out there and do a gift exchange. It'll be a great time of fellowship together, a chance for you to get rid of something that you didn't really want for Christmas, and maybe a chance to get something that somebody else didn't want for Christmas. So everybody should leave happy, or at least with having a few good laughs. It'll be a great time of fellowship together. Please sign up, if you don't mind, out at the welcome desk. If you don't know where that is, don't worry about signing up. We'll have enough space for you. But if you know where that is, please sign up. That way we know roughly about how many people we're going to have for dinner. That's all the announcements I have here this morning. Our ushers now are going to come down the aisle. And if you're a guest with us for the first time, we just want to extend a special welcome to you. When they pass you back down the aisle, we don't want to call out or embarrass you, but if you would just slip up your hand, we want to give you a packet of information. Inside that packet of information is a letter from our pastor letting you know a little bit more about him and about us. Also, there's a Church Highlights, which is our monthly newsletter that we put out, which will let you know about all the different activities, areas of ministry and stuff that we would love to have you come and get plugged into. This is a great day to be in God's house, as we are always celebrating Christmas. Let us prepare our hearts for worship, for the call to worship. I invite you to join in the responsive reading printed in your bulletin for our invitation to worship this morning. I will read the dark print and invite you to join me along in the light print. Excuse me, I will read the light. I said that backwards. And y'all didn't correct me on that. You just laughed at me. Gosh, I will read the light print. I invite you to join me along in the dark print. He came as a baby in a manger. Oh, come, let us adore him. He came in a lowly stable. Come, let us adore him. Shepherds brought their worship. Oh, come, let us adore him. Angels sang their praise. Oh, come, let us adore him. Magi brought their gifts. come, let us adore him. What shall we do? O come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Amen. Pray with me. Father, we're here this morning to adore you. That is why we've gathered. Father, we thank you for the gift of Christmas that unites us together, but more importantly, unites us with you forever. Father, thank you for that gift. Father, let us celebrate that now. In your name we pray. Amen.
I invite you to join with me. I'll be reading from John's Gospel, the very beginning of John's Gospel, John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. May God bless the reading, understanding of his holy word.
Between Sunday, we're between Christmas and we're between New Year's. So if somebody tells you Merry Christmas, say thank you. Somebody says Happy New Year, say thank you. Both responses work well. Let's pray. Lord, we're here to worship. Lord, we're here to pray and praise and sing and give. All these are gifts that you have given to us that we are just meagerly returning back. Lord, thank you for family. Thank you for the chance we got to spend time with family this season. Lord, we pray for a future of excitement, of unknowns. Lord, we are just grateful to be in your house this morning. We're grateful to be your children. We are grateful for all the many, many mercies and blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Lord, as we come to this time in the service, may we give what we can, so that will be to God's glory. It's in thy name we pray. Amen.
So how was your Christmas? Good? How was your Christmas? How many times have you been asked that question this morning? Seriously, think about how many times you've been asked the question, how was your Christmas? How many people are in here? Multiply that by two? Okay, yeah. That's a common question. We get through all of this decoration, and then we come to this Sunday, the Sunday after, and we go, wow. There's almost a sense of letdown, but there shouldn't be. Yesterday when I was coming up to the church for a rehearsal, I went by to get some gas, and as I was pumping gas, I heard one man say to another lady who was pumping gas, he asked her, how was your Christmas? And her response was, I'm so happy that it's over. And I thought, that's sad. I mean, that is really sad, but I wonder how many of us are kind of thinking that. You know, see, the truth for so many people is that Christmas 2019 was over before it really started. Why do I say that? Because a lot of people celebrated Christmas without ever acknowledging Christ. And now that seems like a strange statement because it's Christmas, it's Christmas, but yet there are so many people, they don't even acknowledge the birth of Jesus. Or maybe, yeah, we'll sing it in a Christmas carol or a Christmas song, but then it's just ignored and forgotten. A lot of people celebrate Christmas without celebrating Christ, and that's tragic. A couple of years ago, I was in a shop and I heard a woman complaining to a friend. They were looking at cards, you know, on the racks and racks and racks of cards that are everywhere now. They're even in the drugstores and everywhere now. So you got all these greeting cards there. And they were looking at Christmas cards. And evidently she was frustrated that she could not find the perfect Christmas card. And she was speaking to her friend, and I just happened to overhear it. And she says to her friends, it says, these cards are all so boring. What's Jesus got to do with Christmas anyway? I went, seriously? Stand over here, you know. Lightning is not a precision instrument of death. You know, I don't know anywhere near this lady. I thought, golly, bum. But for a lot of people, that's what they think. The birth of Jesus for so many people is just another story. It's kind of like the Grinch who stole Christmas or Santa Claus or, you know, the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You know, I mean, it's just another story. And I hope and I pray that your Christmas this year included Christ. I hope you spent time thinking about and reflecting upon his birth. I hope you took the opportunity to speak to family members or your one. For those of you not familiar with who your one is, speak with other church members. They can explain that to you. But, you know, hopefully you have an opportunity to speak to people about the reason why we celebrate this season of Christmas. But Christmas comes and goes. I understand that. You know, the day itself, the holiday, comes and goes. And life kind of moves on beyond that. Perhaps even in your house, you've already moved on. Maybe the Christmas tree is already down. Ours seems to stay up in the corner of the living room year round now. We at least take the decorations off of it. And maybe all that's left of Christmas dinner is just a carcass of a turkey that was thrown out. I don't know. Maybe you're going to have turkey sandwiches for lunch. I don't know. But when you come to this day, you know, all the preparation, all the excitement, all the expense, now that it's over with for another year. Except we were talking last night, you know, there are countries, not ours, because there's no money in it. There are countries where the 12 days of Christmas are celebrated correctly. And they begin at Christmas and go through the first of the new year. Why not do that? Why not do that? Why not celebrate Christmas for more than just a day? So then, how was Christmas 2019 for you? Maybe it wasn't all you expected. I don't know what your expectations were. Maybe you were a little disappointed this year. Now that Christmas Day is over with, maybe the excitement has kind of passed a little bit and life has already returned to kind of a welcome normal, whatever normal looks like in your life. I wonder if that first Christmas, Mary and Joseph were hoping for life to return to a welcome normal. So you think your Christmas was busy and hectic. Think about it. It was nothing compared to that first Christmas. Now, we all know the Christmas card version, right? What happened on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day with the birth of Jesus and the shepherds and the Magi show up in the Christmas cards. We know they didn't show up till later, but that doesn't stop American marketing, right? You know, we need to have the wise men and the camel at the nativity scene, right? But then, if you think about Christmas Day, from that point forward, for Mary and Joseph, things took a very strange and almost frantic circumstances. The Gospel of Matthew records the difficulties that happened on that first Christmas. The normal life that Mary and Joseph had perhaps been longing for was not going to happen anytime soon. Matthew records the tears, the fears, the pain, the problems, all of that. And it's a part of the Christmas story too. You won't find it on a Christmas card. You won't hear it sung about in a Christmas carol. But we need to understand what took place. Most churches spend weeks before Christmas preaching about the events leading up to the birth of Christ, talking about what Joseph and Mary went through prior to his birth. But seldom do we hear a lot said about what happened to Mary and Joseph right after Christmas Day. Dr. Luke, Paul's physician, Dr. Luke is really good about detail. And if you read the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, you'll find a great deal of detail about the life, the adult life of Jesus, and a great deal of detail about the early life of the Christian church. But strangely enough, he doesn't spend very much time at all talking about what happened right after Christmas Day and then leading up to the first, till Jesus was 12 years old. Here's what we get. Here's what we get in Luke. Luke chapter 2, verses 39 and 40. This is pretty much it. When Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee, where the child grew up healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. That's all we get in Luke. So we go to Matthew. Thankfully, Matthew in his gospel gives a lot more detail about what happened to Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. And it's in Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. Let me read it for us. Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. It says, when they had gone, who is they? Yes, after the shepherds had left, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. It says, get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up and he took the child and his mother during the day and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they were no more. The return to Nazareth is what follows, okay? In verses 19 through 23, we see after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and he lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, he will be called a Nazarene. So the shepherds have gone, the Magi have come and gone, and we see what unfolds next. It's really, I mean, it's stuff that movies are made of. It's really, it's quite tragic in some ways, but it's inspirational in many others because the wise men had visited Mary and Joseph, they'd presented gifts, and when they left, Mary and Joseph go to sleep. And Joseph has a dream. Now remember, this isn't the first dream that Joseph had had. Remember when the angel of the Lord appeared to Mary and told her she was going to have a child? Also spoke to Joseph in a dream. But in this dream, an angel of the Lord tells Joseph to run. It says, flee, flee to Egypt, because Herod is going to try to kill Jesus. So what do we learn from this story? There's several things, actually. First of all, I think we need to acknowledge that Joseph was incredibly obedient to God. He did not waste any time. He didn't say, well, tell you what, God, I'll wait until morning. I hate to disturb Mary and the baby tonight. No, he got up. He got up, he packed that night, and he headed to Egypt. In the middle of the night, God said, get up and go. Joseph didn't argue with God. Joseph didn't say, hey, don't you have a plan B, God? Can't we do something different? He didn't wait until he had figured it out. Being a man, probably, you know, that was a temptation. I want to figure out all the logistics first. No, he didn't wait for that. He just said, okay. He just obeyed, and he did what God said. He was obedient. Second thing about it is that God provided. God provided in this circumstance. When God calls, he provides. Amen? When he calls you to do something, he has either already provided what you need, or he's going to do that on the fly as you go. Now, in my own life, I've seen that happen, and I understand why he does that, because he's teaching me faith. He's teaching me to depend on him, but he has always provided what I needed. And in this case, he provided in Egypt, and God provided financially for Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. Think about one of the gifts that the Magi brought, the gold, you know, and most scholars believe that that is probably what they used to pay their expenses. So God had provided. Now, the flip side of this is Herod was not pleased at all, to say it. He was furious. He was furious when he realized that the wise men, the Magi, had outwitted him. And you say, what, did they really outwit him? Well, yeah, but they did it with God's direction. You remember the story? See, they did it because they knew they didn't need to go back the way they came. So Herod is angry, and he sends soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under. Mary, Joseph, and Jesus left at just the right time. What a wonderful coincidence. I don't think so. You know better, too. But if you want irony, listen to this. The land that had once enslaved the Jews, God used now to protect the future of his people. Isn't that something? Egypt. For the first century Jews, that would have a bitter taste in their mouth. But yet, that's where Mary and Joseph and Jesus went for God's protection. Kind of ironic. You think about Herod in this situation. Herod was a vicious man. History has a lot to say about him, and 99% of it is unkind. Caesar Augustus was quoted as saying that it would be better to be King Herod's pig than his son, because at least the pigs were protected by law, his family was not. Yeah. And he killed a lot of them. Go back and read about this man. He killed his old family. Anytime he got paranoid, you know, he killed them off. Suffice it to say, he was the sort of person who would not have hesitated to kill off every child, every baby boy under the age of 2 years old. But yet God provided a way out for Mary and Joseph and Jesus. The third thing about this is that God has a perfect plan. His plan is always perfect. No situation can occur that surprises God. You've heard me say before, has it occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? That's very true. Nothing occurs to God. It's not like he goes, whoa, didn't see that happen. I didn't see that coming. I mean, that doesn't happen. He always has a plan. And it's always perfect. The prophet Hosea wrote that God's son would be called out of Egypt in Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. And can you imagine what the Old Testament hearers or the readers of the prophet Hosea would have thought of this prophecy? Egypt? Seriously? Seriously? The Son of God is going to come out of Egypt? You see, after Herod's death, Joseph had this other dream. Joseph had another dream, and the angel spoke to him, and again, no questions, no arguing, no problem, I'll do it. And so they leave from Egypt, and they go up, go into Nazareth, where Jesus grows up. God had protected them once again. So what are we to take away for our purposes from this story? The after Christmas story, if you will. I believe there's two or three things here. First of all, is that the safest place to be is where God leads you. The wise men, they followed a star, and it led them to the Christ child. The wise men followed God's instructions in a dream, and they escaped Herod's wrath. Joseph followed the angel's instructions in a dream and escaped to Egypt. Joseph followed God's instruction in a dream and went to Nazareth. The safest place that you can be is in the center of God's will. Whatever path that you take in life, God knows exactly where it's going to lead. So how much better is it then to be right there? Right where God wants you to be. Right where God leads you, right in the center of His will. The second thing that I take away from this is that a Christian is not exempt from trouble, from life's troubles. The Christmas story is difficult. It is filled with difficulty and suffering. A few examples. The wise men, it was difficult, but they managed to avoid the wrath of Herod. Mary and Joseph, it was difficult getting up and leaving and doing all of that, fleeing for their life. It was difficult, but they did it anyway. But the thing that breaks my heart, and sometimes we just kind of blow by it, is the multitudes of innocent babies that were slaughtered by an evil king. That's hard for me to read. But God leads us through all of the difficulties of life. No matter what your situation, no matter what your problem is, He provides a way through that. He gives us the strength we need, and He brings people alongside of us to help us in that. And so I value that. I value your camaraderie. I value the fact that you journey with me. I hope that you journey with us and that you value that as well. God is always with us, but we also have each other. A Christian's life is not void of trouble and difficulties, but we have one another and we have God along that path. The third thing that I take away is that, and it seems like an overstatement of the obvious, but God is in control. God is in control. We can always feel safe when we're living out God's will for our life because He's still in control. Now, again, that doesn't mean that we're not going to have difficulties. That doesn't mean we're not going to have challenges. It doesn't mean we're not going to have bad things that happen to us. But God is still in control. Everything that happened in the Christmas story and after Christmas was under God's control. He never lost control of things during that time. He may not have liked it. He may not have liked the decisions that were made by Herod. He may not have liked what happened here. He may not, but he still gave free choice, but he's still in control. He's in the Christmas story every step of the way, and he's in our lives every step of the way. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful? Let's pray and give Him thanks. Gracious Father, God, as we read the Christmas story and as we stop and we read it more closely, We understand that there's a lot going on there. A lot of moving pieces, a lot of things that were tragic that happened. Even in the midst of our celebration of the birth of Jesus, there was some tragedy that was occurring all around this story. But yet, we know all of that worked for your glory. So forgive us when we think that our life, our problems, our circumstances are just a little bit too big for you to handle. Or that you don't care that we're having to handle it. Father, teach us daily what it means to walk in the square center of your will. Teach us how to hear your voice, how to recognize how we are to make better decisions and grow to be more like you. God, help us to recognize when people around us are desperately hurting because they're stuck in the middle of their circumstances and their problems and their issues, and they are not leaning on you, perhaps because they don't know you or because they don't trust you completely. So allow us to be a reflection of the light of your Son, Jesus, to love and to encourage, to journey with one another, Father, the whole time trusting in you, recognizing that you're still in control. And as we do all of that, as we work out our faith daily, Father, we pray that we would send all that glory back to you. Father, that you would receive glory for all good things and everything that happens in our life. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here and you're wondering, who is this Jesus that we keep talking about? If you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I invite you. I can't think of a better time than today to come and to begin your walk with Christ. If you don't have that relationship, I'll be here at the front. I'll be glad to share with you how you can trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you have received Him, but maybe life is feeling a little bit out of control, maybe you just need to recenter. Come back. Say, God, I know you, I trust you, but I need to do better about walking daily in your will. You can settle that right where you're standing and singing. The altar, he'll be here open if you'd like to come here and pray at the steps. I'll be here if you'd like to speak with me. Whatever your desire is in that regard, you're welcome to come. If you're here and you say, boy, I'd like to be a part of this church, we strongly recommend it. We strongly recommend. Be glad. There are a lot of ways we receive members. We'll be glad to talk with you about that if that's your desire. Whatever your decision is, we invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. I invite you, following the benediction, we will have a response, and this is a rousing unison response, right? Oh, nice. Okay, it's printed there. You'll recognize the words to go tell it on the mountain. So following our benediction and our rousing congregational response, encourage one another, greet one another, meet people that you haven't met yet, introduce yourself. As we journey together, it's important to know that we're praying and walking with each other, right? Okay, let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for this time that we've been able to be here together. Thank you for what we've learned from your word. We pray that as we go from this place, we would apply that to our lives so that others will know that we belong to you and that we're pointing other people to you constantly, daily. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.